Well, thank you, David. Shalom, everyone. And welcome to another edition of Saffron Planet. Tonight, we are looking, actually, Nancy Searle has raised a question, which we're going to look at tonight, which I will let either her or David, or maybe both of them, introduce shortly. But before we do that, I just wanted us to start with something which has been stirring me of late. I don't think it's really connected to tonight's in any direct way, but I just wanted to start off with a lovely rendition of Here Is Love, sung first in Welsh and then in English. As many of you, I'm sure, know, this was the love song from the 1904 Welsh Revival. And as I was listening to it, my heart was just saying, do it again, Lord. Do it again. So if David is able to, or when he's ready, he's going to share his screen, because my Wi-Fi just isn't up to it. And just going to play it. I think there's a few words, if you can read them. But just
found his soul and deep and wide.
Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that grace and mercy which flows, Lord, the floodgates of your mercy. Father, we praise you. We praise you. Father, as we come this evening to think about you, to talk about your will, Father, would you please open our eyes, open our ears, that we may receive from you. Father, without Jesus, we can do nothing. And so, Father, we confess our absolute need for him this evening. Thank you, Father. We praise you. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Come, Lord. Guide us. Restrain us as necessary. But, Father, lead us into all truth, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, I am just going to pass over, if David and Nancy are okay, just over to them and let them introduce tonight's topic for us.
Okay, well, it's something that we have been talking about on and off for a good long time.
Yeah, it's a quest that we have been on, really. And I'm really hoping for some insight tonight.
We've all heard an awful lot of teaching or perhaps not so much teaching, a lot of statements made about prayer and characteristic of a lot of what I've heard around the charismatic movement is, well, if two of you shall agree on anything, it should be done for them. And that is, of course, perfectly scriptural. In John 14, Jesus says, whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. And so we're sort of given the impression, you can be given the impression, that's just a carte blanche to ask for whatever you want. So I'd like a new Lamborghini so I can. I did hear one charismatic preacher say he was pregnant with a bicycle and then the Lord gave him a bicycle. But, you know, there's a lot of teaching like that and a lot of bordering on presumption, I think, has been a real issue with us. So some of the scriptures that are going through Nancy's mind, as you've seen from the quotes from the introduction to the thing, Psalm 37, verse 4. Under here, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, does that mean He will give you what you want? Or does it mean he'll give you what you want? I'm thinking here, he'll tell you what to want. I'm thinking here of Augustine's famous saying, command what thou wilt and grant what thou dost command. Bringing our will into line with God's will, we can ask for anything we want, but that will be what God wants. rather than what we want. So these verses were going through our minds and said, well, okay, that's fine, but how do we know what the will of God is? And the particular scripture, 1 John 5, that we mentioned, this is the confidence we have in him, that we, if ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we will have the request that we desired of him. So asking according to his will, is that the same as asking in his name, or is asking in his name the same as asking according to his will? The verse we came across recently in Lamentations 3:37, does this have any bearing on it? Who is he that says something and it comes to pass when the Lord has not commanded it? So does that have a bearing on the on this whole question? We've both had on rare occasions, I have to say, one of those situations when you absolutely know what God wants you to pray for and you pray it and it happens. But that's rare, and we'd like it to be less rare. So we're sort of throwing it open to the group and say, what's your testimonies? What's your understanding? Can we help one another? Because obviously prayer is absolutely vital, but equally it's a resource that we don't want to waste time praying for things that aren't God's will and aren't going to happen. So this whole question of we're praying for revival, and that, and there's this general sense of God wants to do something. So can we get an idea of the specific will of God in this sort of thing? I've heard a lot about revival for the last 25 years. I haven't seen it. Now, does that mean we've not been praying right? Or is there other things that we're not aware of that have hindered the answer to our prayers? So lots of questions, not too many answers.
Great. Well, let's see what the Lord does this or says this evening. So thank you, David and Nancy, for the question and for those scriptures as well. So just to summarize that, so we are looking at how do we know what the will of God is for sure? How can we be sure of the will of the Lord so that we get our prayers answered? And there was a few scriptures there which I'm hoping that one of my brothers will be able to maybe post into the chat for those. So it was Psalm 37, 4-5, 1 John 5, verse 14, and Lamentations 3:37. So thank you, David and Nancy, again. Would anybody like to have a first go? Or just share some thoughts, or maybe even add to some questions, the questions that David and Nancy have shared with us. Thank you, Nigel. Open that in the chat. Rosalind.
This is probably going to be very simplistic, but I would say that the Bible tells us the way we should go, not that we always do what we should do, but that's a sure sign of what the Lord's will is for us in general terms. But I don't think we always know what the Lord's will is, but it's a question of trusting him. And when we pray, sometimes our prayers get answered, sometimes they don't. But I want to rephrase that. It doesn't mean that our prayers are not being answered, but we don't see them being answered. But that doesn't mean to say that they're not being answered. And when we pray, we're praying for the Lord's will. So we don't know how things are going to turn out. But we know that if we ask for bread, then he's not going to give us something bad. So we know that his will is always right anyway. So, when we pray, he will answer. If we're asking in sincerity and we keep short accounts with the Lord, sort of, coming to him and repenting when we're aware that we've done anything that or thought anything that we shouldn't have done. I believe that the Lord will answer prayer if we ask sincerely, and he knows that we are sincere before him. There's no way that he wouldn't answer if it's good for us. So, but we're not always aware of it, I think. and not always aware of it straight away.
Thank you, Rosalind. Nigel.
Yeah, thank you, Rosalind. I think that's your point is the most important and the starting point for our conversation this evening, which I'm sure everybody would want to make, which is that the Word of God is the foundation for our guidance as Bible-believing Christians. And I've just put in the chat a link to an article which is really helpful on this subject. It's on the Got Questions website, and I wouldn't suggest you go through it now because it's very, very detailed. It's 12 points about how to discern the will of God. So, you know, in a sense, it's like it's how to do a week long Bible study on discerning the will of God rather than an evening's discussion. But, you know, if you're really serious about kind of looking and seeing what how, you know, if you like, after this evening, if you really want to delve into this in depth, that might be a good website to go to. So that there's the link on that. But, you know, it majors on your point, Rosalind, first, going to the scriptures. And then on each of the 12 points, it uses scriptures to explain each point and to back up each point about how we discern the will of God. I could just, if you like, just read the headline of each point. Would that be helpful, Barry?
Yes, please, Nigel.
Okay, I've just copied it into the notes app of my... So let me just... So first of all, it looks at the comprehensive Word of God, how we need to understand the Word of God in its entirety. And then it says about how the Word of God calls for our complete consecration. So we're asked and joined in the Word to commit ourselves to God completely. And then how God wants us to commit ourselves in advance to do God's will, not just seek it in the moment. And then we're called to call upon the Lord and ask him for wisdom. And then how God uses our circumstances. God also, we're told to seek counsel of other godly, mature people. How God also calls on us to use common sense, with a lovely quote from Benjamin Franklin, who's credited with saying, "Common sense is something everyone needs, few have, and nobody thinks they lack." But he also uses a couple of scriptures there. The eighth point is that we should consider the leading of the Holy Spirit. The ninth point is that contentment is vital in this, and which he talks about the peace of the Holy Spirit in guidance, the role of the peace of the Holy Spirit. The tenth point is gospel consciousness, being aware of all times about the gospel and its furtherance, and the overall consequences of our decisions. And then the 11th point is considerations of stewardship on each decision we make. And the 12th point is do God's will as you discover it. God doesn't always show us his will as an academic exercise or to satisfy our curiosity. He shows it so that we may do it. Mm-hmm. And then some lovely, and I think this is relevant, I'll just read his summary. God wants us to know his will. So that's the most important thing. He does actually, the Word of God says quite a lot about find out what the will of God is. The details of his plan become apparent as we study his word and follow him. The important thing is to have the right motive in discovering the will of God. When you seek to edify others and glorify the Lord, you will know what to do, and lots of Bible references for that. And finally, he says, this is one of his penultimate points, don't seek God's will to the detriment of seeking him himself. And he particularly points, there's one reference, John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So really the will of God primarily is knowing God, knowing Jesus, not just knowing what Jesus wants you to do. It's knowing him. And that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus. That's Romans 8:28-30. And there's more. But you can read it for yourself.
Thank you, Nigel. Thank you for summarising that, and also thank you for the link. And hope people can maybe have a look at that later on this evening or at some point after this meeting. Okay, Elizabeth, you're up next.
Yeah, it was just really a question a little bit about motives. When it says, so we will get our prayers answered, you know, how will we get to know the will of the Lord for sure? So we will get our prayers answered. So it was just, should we even be thinking along those lines, you know? But I agree with a lot of the things that, you know, knowing God and knowing his word, obviously. But no, it was just a question mark over the motives, that was all. Yeah.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Well, I'll give David and Nancy a chance to respond if they want to.
Not yet. Yeah. Not looking for success in praying as an end in itself, but looking for partnering with the Lord to get his will done. Because well, the theologians say, I'm not sure of the Bible verse that would back this up, but the theologians say that God has committed himself to only working in answer to our prayers. A number of people, Arthur Matthews in Born for Battle, makes that point. And I've, you know, heard it a number of times. So God's got all these plans he wants to do, and what the theologians are telling us is the plans won't come into being unless somebody here prays. And Arthur Matthews reminds me, takes us to Gethsemane, when the whole plan for Calvary was there, but it required Jesus in the garden to say, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He compares it with the saying that the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton. The Battle of Calvary was won on the praying field of Gethsemane. So it's that sense of wanting to see God's will carried out, but somehow that is dependent on us praying it. So we don't want to be praying for things that aren't God's will. We do want to be praying for what is God's will. So that's the point, not looking for success. We're not necessarily talking about healing, which is what people automatically think. You know, we're talking about God's will for the government, God's will for Liz Truss, God's will for King Charles. You know, these things which are important, and I believe things will change in the spiritual, in the heavenlies, if we're praying aright, but not praying from what we want to happen, but from what God wants to happen. And it's getting that sense. And I agree with everything that's been said so far. It's very good. You've got one point about why our prayers don't get answered.
Right. Two verses. One is Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. And Proverbs 28, verse 9, one who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. So it really is like, I think Ross said, it's keeping short accounts with the Lord. And like Nigel said, it's growing to be like him, to know him. And I personally really long to be in that place where I don't pray for lots of things that I don't know it's right to pray for. David just said, our prayers really can make a huge difference. And I don't want to underestimate that in the government, in the world situation, in really in people's lives. Prayers should be so powerful. Straight to the throne room.
Nancy, I missed that Proverbs reference.
28:9.
Thank you.
Yeah, our prayers are an abomination if we're not obeying him and hearing him, you know. Mm. I don't want to think my prayers are an abomination to the God I love. So that's an incentive to keep my heart right. And it's not for personal success or accolade at all. I mean, sometimes I don't talk about the prayers I've had answered because I only want the Lord and me to know about it for his glory.
Mm. Thank you, Nancy. I think we hear your heart.
Praise God. Can I just say, Barry, that hymn, that here is love fast as the ocean, oh, it sent shivers down my spine. And it was about, that was 95, wasn't it? And it was about 95 when I went to a home group on the Wirral where I lived at that time. And when we got there, we were told not to go inside. And then an ambulance turned up. And one of the men in our home group, he'd got there first. He'd arrived and was talking to Mason, the host. And suddenly he dropped dead. We didn't know. We were in the car. We were all in the car waiting on the car park. Then the ambulance came. Anyway, they took him away. And we went in the house and were told what had happened and still carried on with the home group. It was amazing. And we always used to have just one hymn that somebody played the piano to, and the hymn chosen that night was already chosen, Here Is Love Fast as the Ocean. Now that was the gentleman who dropped dead and was with the Lord. That was his favorite hymn, and we sang this hymn. Can you imagine the emotion in that room? He wasn't there, but I just felt that all heaven was watching and listening and joining in with us. And that was his very favourite hymn. So that was very meaningful to me personally. I don't know why it happened, but who knows what happens in the heavenlies.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for clarifying that for us, Nancy, as well. So would anybody like to make any further comments? Was there a hand up there that I missed? So Fiona, I think, was it?
Somebody's gone. I've got two things I'd like to say, please. One is, what is prayer? Mm. And just to say, well, I believe it isn't, is on Sunday, in the Sunday, one of the Sunday services on the radio, there were prayers which said, we pray for this category of people, this category of people, this category of people. Father of grace and mercy, answer our prayer. Now, the thing was, they didn't say anything. Because prayer is basically asking, but it's also listening. And so for me, I get so frustrated when I hear people, we pray that you will be merciful, but it's not like to whom. And I think God wants, like in one of the psalmists, it says, man plans his way, but God directs his steps. And I think the thing is, we can come to the Lord, but the majority, I think, of praying is listening. It's being attentive to what the Lord is saying in it. And it's coming to him with a purpose, so that you may have an issue, but it's listening first and just waiting on God to see what he has to say first. And then it, maybe he gives you a scripture you can pray into. It may be like I was in a prayer meeting last week and we were praying about the church, primarily about the remnant. And I was given John 17 and the prayer of Jesus. And basically, I prayed along the lines of, Father, you always answer the prayers of your son. And he prayed that this is what you want, unity. Mm. And so, Father, that's what we're asking for, is that you will fulfill that prayer of your son. You know, so that was something that came into that. But that was the scripture that I was given, so I prayed into it. It's just a praising, but it's not, Fiona's a great prayer. Don't get me wrong with that. But I think primarily we should be, we've got two ears and one mouth. And it does say in scripture, now where is it? I think it's Ecclesiastes 5, where it talks about, it talks about vowing, but it's about how when we come into the presence of the Lord, we should watch the words that we say, and we should keep our words few. And Jesus himself says that, you know, don't keep vain repetition of things, because God does hear.
Yeah.
And it's the motivation. Do you want to know his heart, or is there something you're really burdened for yourself? And just to give a testimony, last year, I faced a disciplinary at work. And this was because a service user had twisted the words that I had said and had alleged that I had done something to her detriment and I wasn't prepared to provide a service. That was twisted. It was a case of I wasn't sure if that service could be provided and I would check it. But such was this lady's attitude, and she was bearing a grudge against me from 3 years previously, which she admitted to. I then went through two meetings with management, and the third one would be an appeal. And I was in turmoil. Absolute emotional turmoil. I didn't know what to do, because I knew that if I went to the appeal disciplinary, that I would be defeated, because that's the way they work. I just didn't know whether I would have it in me to face that. But on the other hand, I knew that I needed to be vindicated. And that by going through that appeal, I would show that I was telling the truth. And I was not going to renege on what I believed to be the truth. So I was in, as I say, I was in agony. I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't eat properly. I was thinking about it. It was all in the forefront of my mind all the time. And my sister, who is becoming a Christian, she's on the way, and my husband, who is a Christian, turned round and said to me, you have to make a choice, and whichever way you go, if you get peace, then that is the right way to go. But I had to wrestle with that. I gave it to the Lord. I asked him to guide me and lead, and in the end I said, I'm going to go for this appeal. And then, after I'd poured out my heart to the Lord in front of my husband and my sister, I had peace. And I went for the appeal, and as I knew, it was not good, and the outcome was positive. I was seen as guilty. And subsequently I had a year's indictment on my employment record. I could not have anything after that. But God did something in that process for me, and he changed me. And I think God has a plan and a purpose, and it's about having our faces set like flint on what is God's purpose. But there are times where he says, you can choose, you have the freedom to choose. And then he will help us in our choice. Am I making any sense?
You are. To me, anyway. I don't know. Can't speak for everybody else.
But I do think it's when you pour out your heart to God, that is when, and you've got nothing else. You've got nowhere else to turn, and you just pour out your heart. Then something breaks and something gets sorted. And the ultimate was Gethsemane, wasn't it? And the greatest work of all.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Elizabeth.
Yeah, I just wanted to quickly follow on from what Fiona said, because I've having some times with the Lord. Well, I just knew there was still stuff that was logged somewhere, still affecting me. And I just knew I had to come to the Lord and just be with him and just pour out my heart and everything that I was not consciously aware of, just let myself be delivered from things and just have that new a renewed revelation of the cross and what he's done. So I just wanted to follow up from that. And ongoing process. But sometimes we're not encouraged to do that in our culture, to really let go, you know, to really open up. And of course we can do that with the Lord, because he, if we know he loves us, you know, we trust him, you know, we can absolutely give him everything, not hold anything back, you know. So
that's important, I think, because I think, you know, as we're talking, prayer is definitely countercultural. Prayer is expressing dependence upon God, and the big thing, even in bringing up our children, we train them to be independent, don't we? We train our children with the objective of getting them to flee the nest and go and set up their own homes and so on. It's only in Western culture. In other cultures, that's not the case. And you know, the children stay at home, and you know, they get the top floor of the house, and then gradually move down as other people die. You know, that sort of patriarchal culture. But in our culture, independence is the big thing. So it's countercultural to come to God and basically throw everything on him. And it's counter to the flesh as well, because the flesh doesn't like that, because it's another aspect of dying to the flesh, isn't it? Dying to self. That's a good point. I see David Andrews posted something, which is what I was trying to say earlier, what Spurgeon said: when your will is God's will, you will have your will. I was trying to express that earlier, the fact that just completely focused in the Lord. Yeah, we've been to so many prayer meetings where there's just, you know, go round the room and you list all the things people want to pray for, and you get this shopping list of things, even sometimes written up on a whiteboard, and everything has to be prayed for on the list, regardless of what God might be saying about it, or even wanting it prayed for, you know. And you just get and the prayer just chips and chops between all the different items. You know, one minute you'll be praying for Auntie Agnes' ingrowing toenail, and the next minute you're praying for some tremendous work of God in China, you know, and then you're back to what's happened just down the road, or, you know, no consistency in prayer, and it just flicking backwards and forwards. In prayer, rather than having that clear sense, we are here to pray for so-and-so. And when you're praying in a meeting like that, you are praying on behalf of everybody. And having that unity of spirit between everybody, rather than saying, this is what I want to happen, you know, as a company, we've come together to pray for, and we believe the Lord is saying, so we pray and everybody prays following that. And then you have that unity, which is so often lacking. Back to knowing what the will of God is. But I see Jeremy smiling, obviously wanted to get a word in here.
You're muted, Barry.
I said over to David Searle, Mark 2.
Thank you very much, Barry. I hope that's not presumption on my part. I think if one's sensitive in a prayer meeting, it's a time of learning as to what does please the Lord, isn't it? And although it's not actually, is it foolproof, but it's not actually going to be guaranteed, I think we get much closer to what the Lord is wanting generally if we are attending a meeting where we're discerning or trying, seeking God and praying to discern his will. It's a honing of the ability, isn't it? And in a lovely environment of the presence of the Lord. One thing I was thinking of was, St. Paul, of course, didn't actually get this right all the time, did he? And asked three times. And it is part of the relationship with the Lord, isn't it? To allow this humble approach where we're not always going to get it right. But if we don't ask, James says that we don't get because we don't ask, doesn't he? So we're going to be in this relationship. We're going to be in this. It's not all off Calvinistic, maybe is the word. I don't know, where you just say, oh, it's all God's will and I'm not going to do anything. I'm not sure if I'm using that term correctly, but it's more, you know, that there is a difference. You don't get if you don't ask. And the Lord, of course, asks us to perhaps in some sense, situations be like the widow with the unjust judge, and we get in there. Then there's the range, isn't there, of what we can pray for. And I do wonder about my own life, and once I go to be with the Lord and look back, you know, how has my prayers actually affected the world? Has my whole life actually been good for the whole world and what God's doing in the whole world? And for eternity, you know, where is the whole scope of where I'm going? What am I looking for in my prayers? What's the whole sum of my life and what it's been worth? Except that perhaps the relationship of the asking is worth, a relationship with the Lord is worth something in itself. It may be that perhaps one ought to be praying a little bit more about the things that are strictly on the Lord's agenda for great glory to him. But it may also be, of course, that the needs and the desires in our own heart are not just there from us, but are also there from the Lord, even quite simple things, and glory can come from that. If we're willing to give them back to him, if we're willing to allow them to be taken from us, and if we're willing to wait on him and even give up the opportunities, that he might actually, and this has happened to me, then give them in abundance later. So isn't it a wonderful experience of God that prayer is? I mean, so much of the Christian life, and not something to be worried about too much, I think, but to jump in listening and enjoy, and perhaps that we will give the glory to the Lord when we get a great victory in prayer. Even if it's quite personal, depending on how the Lord is moving and what he's wanting. Mm. Just one final thought was that today there was a ring on the bell, and there was a young chap there who looked a bit diffident, a bit, slightly insecure in asking, but he wanted to see if I wanted, or we wanted, to have a daily delivery of milk in a bottle, with recycling sort of being part of the program. And I would have loved to have said yes, you know, and perhaps if it hadn't meant a commitment, I would have said yes, just to be really encouraging to him, because he was humble in his asking. And it was, you know, something to give me joy to say yes. So there's that as well, isn't there, in our asking of the Lord, that it might be that in our humble approach to him, that it might give him delight to say yes. On the other hand, of course, it might be too much of a commitment. But so there's lots of things in this, aren't there? Thanks for the question, Nancy.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you for that. Yeah, that's a couple of things are coming to my mind here in this. You know, when we're trying to discern the will of God in something that Scripture is there, certainly, but when we're trying to press through and find what God is saying to our specific situation, one thing I think that might help us is to have more confidence in his ability to speak than in our ability to hear. Because I think if we put the emphasis on us, you know, getting everything right before he speaks to us, then I'm not sure that's entirely correct. What I'm trying to say is, if we can trust him, you know, what I love about that passage in James that you quoted, Jeremy, was if you actually read what it says, it's an incredible promise. Because it says, if you ask for wisdom, let me make sure I quote this correctly. So let me just turn to it. James chapter 1, and it says this, verses 5 and probably 6 and maybe 7 and 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So we're back to what Fiona said about asking. Who gives to all generously. He's a generous. This isn't, so we don't have to twist his arm. You know, he's generous to all generously and without reproach. Now, we could maybe discuss what that means, but to me, part of it certainly is that, you know, perhaps, you know, I haven't sought him as much as I should have in this, but he's generous. The thing is this, it will be given to him, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. So, and then it goes on to talk about what happens if we ask without faith, we shouldn't expect to receive anything. But I think what I'm trying to say is the emphasis for me is on my confidence should be in his ability to speak. And I know, and I've said this before in Saffron Planet, I'll say it again, is this, that my God knows how to speak to me in such a way at any point in time that I will know it's him. He's big enough. He's powerful enough. He's knowledgeable enough to know how to speak to me so that I will know. Is my confidence in that, or is my confidence in what I've been doing or not doing before he will speak? Now, I'm not saying that there's certain passages in Scripture, of course, seeking him and all of that is important. But at the end of the day, is the confidence in hearing from God in you, is your confidence in yourself and what you're doing or not doing, or is it in his ability to speak? It's just a wee challenge I want to throw out to myself and to all of us. Do you trust him? Do you really believe, when you ask him, Lord, what's your will? What is your, when you're seeking him, do you really believe that he's going to answer? I say this so many times in Saffron Planet because it's so important for me. His faith is so important. Do I believe he will speak? I might not like the answer. It might not be immediate, but do I believe he will answer? Because he said, if I need wisdom, There's a promise here. If I ask, believing, that I'll receive it. And God doesn't lie. And it sounds too good to be true. But it is true. God will answer if we ask, believing that we will receive it. And so we have to have confidence in him and in his ability to do what he has promised he will do, as Abraham said, or as it says in Romans 4. He believed, he was fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. God has promised. Is there confidence there?
I think if I've got the quote right, it was Luther who said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of his generosity. Mm. It's words to that effect.
Mm. Amen.
And of course, Hebrews 4 encourages to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mm. Boldly. Amen. Because we know that he hears us. If we ask him to as well, I'll be back to that. But,
And one other thing I was going to say, I think it's already been alluded to tonight, but I think sometimes it becomes very easy for our will just to really just entwine around, you know, we might say, Lord, I want to do your will on it, but there's just something in us that's really, but Lord, I want it to be this. And it's like, I'm really pressing in one direction. We have to guard our hearts against that. We really have to step back and say, Lord, your will, not mine. And I know that we know that, but sometimes in certain things, there's just something that we might just really, really want God's will to be. And we have to be on the guard against that and make sure that we're not, that's not our flesh that's grasping for something.
That the divided heart, the unstable man of James, isn't it? The divided heart, if our hearts are torn between saying we want God, what God's will is, as long as it isn't this or as long as it is that, that's divided heart. Just looking, Psalm 86, verse 11 came to mind while you were speaking then. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. Mm-hmm. And it's that focus on God's heart and making what's on God's heart on our heart. But we come back to the question, how do we know that? But I think there's a part of an answer there. Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth.
Mm. Yeah. Nigel.
Yes, one of the ways in which we can guard against sort of allowing our personal bias to creep in is instead of praying in our own words, we can use the prayers that are already in Scripture, because Paul wrote so many epistles, so many letters. He also included prayers for the people he was writing to. And it's an incredibly powerful way of praying for people, is to pick up on some of those prayers that he prayed. And some of the most powerful prayers that people have ever prayed for me is when they picked up on some of those prayers and prayed those prayers. And I don't know if anyone's ever prayed for you in that way, or whether you've prayed for others in that way, but there are some extraordinarily wonderfully powerful prayers in the epistles. For example, if you look at at Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3, there are some, just those two prayers. Let's see if I can just dig them out. Someone might get there before me, in which case do just say which verses they are. I had them, but then I moved. I was going to try and put David's scripture up in the chat. So, but I missed that one as well.
I've just put the Psalm 86 up.
Oh, thank you.
There's a tremendous book by Don Carson, A Call for Spiritual Reformation, where he goes through all Paul's prayers in the New Testament.
Right. And
expounds them. A tremendous book. I think I've gone through it twice. called the spiritual reformation. It's
so if, yeah, I mean, if, you know, you don't, but you don't need to buy a book. You can just open your Bible.
Oh, you can find it, yes. But the way he expounds it and brings it out is tremendous, and it's so unlike what you hear in most church prayer meetings.
Yes. So Ephesians 1, 16 to probably to the end of chapter 1 is one prayer. Mm-hmm. And if you want to pray powerfully for someone, you can pray that. And then Ephesians 3, this is my favourite one of the Ephesians 2. Ephesians 3, where does it start? Verse 14 to verse 19, well, probably to the end of the chapter. And if you want the most wonderful and powerful prayer to pray for somebody else, if you're praying over the phone for someone, you don't necessarily even have to tell them what you're praying. Just find those verses. If someone can type them into the chat while I'm chatting, that would be really helpful. And just find those verses and just start to pray them for someone, and you will find the power of your own prayer. You'll be astonished at how the Holy Spirit takes over. And by the end of it, you know, you'll just realize you've done them a power of good and yourself a power of good, because the extraordinary nature of the depth and breadth of these prayers, and you'll long for when somebody else does it for you. Because, you know, it's just wonderful to be able to pray the scriptures. There's nothing like it. Mm-hmm. And Paul doesn't pull his punches when he prays.
No. Thanks, Nigel. Elizabeth.
Yeah, it's just to... also say that I think it's the word and the spirit coming together, isn't it? So the spirit inspires us for a specific scripture, because we can take scriptures, any scripture, and pray it, but it might not be the one. So it's just to be led by the, I'm sure we all know this, you know. But what I was just following up from the asking scripture from James, because I'd had recently from Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. Mm-hmm. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be open. So this is the Jesus, this is the direct words of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then he says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Mm-hmm. Or if he asks for fish, we'll give him a snake. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes it's almost the converse is true, in that we're not confident enough. I suppose this is reiterating what you were saying, Barry. We don't have that confidence that he really will give us what we really want, you know. Mm. We can't quite believe he is such a generous father, such an extravagant father who absolutely loves his child. Mm. And sometimes that's a sort of almost an unconscious thing that's stopping that confident prayer, that we know he's our father. He longs to give us these things. He longs to bless us. So that's just something I just wanted to share. Yeah.
That's very interesting, those scripture, Matthew 7 scripture. I did a bit of a study on that some time back, because our English translation does not do justice to the Greek. The verbs basically have been turned back to front by the translators. And the way it reads, it sounds like the emphasis on receiving, finding, and having doors opened. But in the Greek, the emphasis is on seeking, asking, seeking, and knocking. So chapter 7, verse 8 really should say, for those who receive have been asking, for those who find have been seeking, to those who the door is open, have been knocking. The emphasis is the other way round. The translator's bias, which is the Christian bias, the way we normally hear, has come through. Look, I haven't yet found a translation which translates it, doing justice to the Greek verbs, but I got that from an article in a Christian magazine by one of the theologians whose name I now can't remember. I can look it up, but it was very interesting. So the emphasis is, you're coming asking in confidence, you're coming seeking in confidence, you're knocking in confidence.
Brilliant. Yes, I think there's a persistence element as well in a lot of this that Jesus did talk about, that persistent widow, and we refer to it all the time, but it's how many of us really persist, you know, is it, and if we're looking, seeking as well, do we, you know, if we don't get it the first time we sit down to pray, do we just stop, do we give up, or do we persist? I mean, Lance Lambert tells a story, I don't know if you've listened to any of his school of prayer, but he used to, when he was growing up, he found himself, I think he was living with two old spinsters, and they used to pray. And they used to go into a room and pray together, and then he used to always wonder what was going on in that room. And one day they invited him in, and they just, they'd received a phone call or something with a prayer request, and they'd gone into the room, and between the two of them, they were just going back and forth through the scriptures, saying, "Have you got it yet? Have you got the word?" And they would, "No, not yet." And they would just keep going until they received a word from scripture that was going to speak into that situation. And then Lance said, as soon as they got something that was like those World War II films, they just let rip on this, standing on this word. Until they could just stand up and say, it's done. And that's the sort of praying that achieves and gets there. It's persistent, confident in God, and kept going with that fervency until
they... I'm going to contradict you, Barry.
Okay, go ahead.
So the reason I'm going to contradict you is because we're all different. That sort of prayer is wonderful. And I know old ladies who pray like that. Mm. And I've beaten up myself up because I'm not like those old ladies. And I have tried to be like those old ladies, because when old ladies like that, who I knew died, I cried out to the Lord and I said, "Who's going to replace them in my fellowship?" And I felt the Lord saying, "Well, if not you, who?" And so I tried to be like somebody who I'm not. And in the end, I had to say to the Lord, "Well, how am I going to do it?" And the Lord said, "I've already made you like I want you to be." And I've sort of scratched my head and I thought, "But I'm an artist, Lord. I paint." He said, "Well, pray like that." So I sort of had to change my expectation about how I'm going to pray. And I said, "Okay, Lord, well, I'm going to have to pray like I pray, and is that going to be good enough?" And I think it's got to be good enough. I've got to be me in my prayer and not pray like other people expect me to pray. I'm going to have to pray, you know, my prayers are going to be, I'm going to pray in the spirit. I'm not going to be able to pray in words. I can't pray like the people who I admire. I have to pray the way I pray, because I admire people who've got strengths that I don't have. That's the very nature of who we are. We tend to admire people who've got the strengths that we don't have. And so I'm always beating myself up because I'm not like X, Y, or Z. But the Lord doesn't look at us like that. The Lord looks at his children and he loves all of them, and they're all different. And so he wants us to pray naturally, according to who we are, and not like, you know, he doesn't want his eldest child to pray like his youngest child. He doesn't want his artistic child to pray like his accountant's child. He just wants us to be himself. to be ourselves with him, to be natural, to be, yes, diligent, but diligent according to our gifting. So I just disagree with you that we have to look at some pattern and somehow beat ourselves up to be more like that. I think what God wants is for us to be really passionately, honestly real and ourselves with the Lord. And I've just spent too many decades of my life trying to be like somebody else. And I teach on prayer, and I when I get to the end of it, I say, if anything I have said on this, I tend to do whole days, I said, if anything I have said causes you to pray less, just forget it. Because the point of today is that you should pray more. Don't pray less, pray more. So, you know, be encouraged. Whatever you've done to pray, just increase it. Don't decrease it. Don't be discouraged. Just do it more. And that is the message, is, you know, prayer, when it comes down to it, the main word for prayer is to ereteo, to ask. Just talk more to God. Don't talk less. So, yes, we should look at those, the wonderful examples of those old ladies. And there are some people who are like those old ladies. And praise God for them. And let's hope that God will raise up many more. Let's pray for hundreds. But if you're not like that, don't beat yourself up, because we can't make ourselves like what we're not.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't expecting us all to do that night. So I was just.
I know you weren't, Barry, but the only reason I'm disagreeing is because I've been watching Ben Hur today, and I felt like that bloke holding on to the reins, being dragged over the pebbles, you know, like, oh, I'm trying to be a better Christian, Lord, and getting all bloodied and scratched and. And it just gets me nowhere. And the Lord doesn't even ask it of me. And it's not necessary, because he's much more gentle with us than we are with ourselves. Mm. It's just, you know, he says, it's okay. You are you and they're them. And let's just start again, shall we? And remember that I made you, I know you, and I love you. So don't try and be like X, Y, or Z. Just remember that that's just, you know, I don't expect what you expect, because I actually know you better than you know yourself.
I was only raising that point because they seem to know the will of God quite well. And I was only raising that point because I think it's important that we don't lose sight of that. That they knew how to seek, they knew how to find, and very successful in it.
There is no disagreement between us at all. It just, it triggered me, that's all.
Yeah, and doing it together, there's a togetherness about that. And Jesus says, two of you shall agree. So I think seeking God's will is something which, well, I'm asking, is that better done in together? But there's several other hands raised, so I'll shut up.
Yeah. No worries. Fiona, go ahead.
I do think at times it's easier to pray as a group as long as everyone is focused on the one thing. Mm. You need to know what it is that you're seeking initially, I think, and what it is that you need to ask. So things need to be very clear at the outset. And I know at the F17 conference last year, it was last year, wasn't it? Or was it earlier this year? Earlier this year, sorry. There were prayer meetings in the morning. And when you're of one heart and one mind, it just flows. And you know that God is in it and he's directing it. There can be more uncertainty when you pray on your own. It comes down to confidence. But I think, too, when you're seeking God's will, it hasn't got to be something that you labour over. God can just give it to you. And I just think,
you know, you could, well, Lord, is there something you want me to do today? Is there something specific? Then will you clearly guide me and lead me? You know, and then in the circumstance, you hear that still small voice and he speaks to you. And it can be that someone comes to mind. You think, well, why have they come into my mind? And then it's giving them back to the Lord and saying, well, Father, I don't know why they come into my mind. Is there something you want to reveal? If not, I'm just asking that you will bless them today, you'll meet their need. You will be there for them and they'd know your presence with them and they would know that it is you sorting it out. You know, whatever it is, it may be something as general as that, but it's about, first and foremost, it's about your relationship with the Lord. However we spend time with him, that's what he desires from us. And he will use us and he will reveal things to us as he chooses in his time. And it's not about striving in it necessarily. But there are times where, you know, like in the war, and you had, in the Second World War, I should say, and you had intercessors praying, Rees House. And they had all-night prayer meetings and things, and people do. Even now, there are all-night prayer meetings and things. But you need to be effective. You really need to be effective. And the only way you can be effective is to come together and find God's heart on the matter. What is it? You bring your petition to him. Say, Father, we really need to ask for this. And then find out what his heart is. And that comes through scripture. That may come through a prophecy. It may come through opening up the Bible and there being a word of scripture there. And a lot of people poo-poo this, but I find the Lord speaks to me on a regular basis when I come to him and I say, Father, will you show me through your word? And if I don't get a word in my head, I say, Father, will you open the scripture at the right, will you open the scriptures to me? And I will lay the Bible out and I will let it fall open at a page. And it's always, always the answer I need. And that, I mean, people go, oh, you know, that's mumbo jumbo, you shouldn't be doing that. But I find that's how God has done it for me. Now, I'm not advocating for everybody, but I have the faith now because God has done it so often for me that I know, or I'm flicking through and it said, stop, and I stop, and it's at the right page. So God works in mysterious ways, as one has said before. And, you know, God has a time for everything and he doesn't reveal everything all at once for us. So it's about waiting on him.
Amen.
And but being that, expectant.
In that feeling, your confidence isn't, it's not superstitious. Yours, because your confidence is in God, isn't it, as you do that? Yeah. And yeah, that's the key. It's the confidence in God. God can speak in the way he chooses. Yeah. And any means, and that's the, but if we're confident in him, we will hear it. We will hear what he's saying.
Yeah.
Great, thank you. Let me just see what time. Oh, we've got 5 minutes left. So time for just two more. So yeah, Jeremy first, and then we'll go to Lisa.
There are a couple of people I'm really wanting to pray for. One of them in particular makes me really quite stressed because it's just so important, you know, and I'm aware that when I get stressed, I'm coming out of the certainty, out of the peace, out of that place, really, where I can be effective. So, you know, the intercessor, I think, is supposed to identify with the person they're praying for. But this maybe can become a little bit overmuch. I don't know. But I'm wondering, listening to what you were saying earlier, Barry, if I'm perhaps being prompted to pray out, actually actively pray out scriptures to pray for these two people. And perhaps this might be a way forward, which is a nice reminder. And thank you for that. And secondly, during the lockdown period, particularly, and being away from church fellowship, which I am a lot, I'm praying for within myself a great deal. And of course, that's great in some ways, but isn't there balance in everything? And I'm beginning to enjoy very occasionally I go to a place where there's liturgy, where there's direction, where there's that more dispassionate, more thought through already approach that we were perhaps touching on earlier. And that actually can be helpful as well. So another balance to be had.
Mm. God can talk through a donkey. Gives me great confidence. Lisa.
Hello. As I was listening, I was reminded of Smith Wigglesworth and his way, how God used him, and it horrified me when I saw videos of him, and he would punch cancer from people, and I was absolutely flabbergasted, but he had many, many healings. And so, I've never tried that. And I don't think I will try, but I guess it's a little bit like what Nigel said. I suppose we'll be prompted by the leading of the Holy Spirit of what to do. But when you spoke about those ladies who were sort of being guided by the Spirit, I am very, very, what's the word, encouraged by their faith. And I think you can sort of try that yourself with on your own or with other people, and I guess you just have to see where God takes it. And then if you feel he's not using you in that way, if it's not the way that you're led to pray, I guess you just stick to what you know, I suppose. But I suppose I have had to step out in faith sometimes. And yeah, I don't have the gift of tongues, for example. And a Scouser lady, she said, "Oh, you can have my tongue, lovey." And then she started saying a lot of her gift of tongues and making me repeat it. And I just felt really daft. But bless her, she wanted me to really like have the gift. And I just accept now that I've got different giftings. So, but I have had some different leaders from a church saying, "Oh, you can't be a Christian if you haven't got the gift of tongues," and things like that. But you know, I know that's not a case that you don't get salvation if you don't have a gift of tongues. So, but yeah, I'll end it there.
Well, we won't go into that can of worms right now. Mm. I think that is, with 1 minute to go, probably not the wisest of us, but we could maybe bring that up another time. Okay. Yes, it's not, you're not uncommon. I think I've heard that many times before myself. Okay, folks, well, I think time is upon us. I do want to allow time to pray for anyone who does want to stay and pray, but I appreciate some of you may need to go. If you do need to go, well, thank you for being with us, and thank you for your comments and your insight. And we trust that something that the Lord has said to you this evening will be useful to you wherever you are in your walk. But if you do want to stay and pray together, well, then please feel free to do so. So we'll just pause now and let those who need to go just to leave, and then we'll pray shortly.
Thanks for an interesting evening.
Thank you, Judith. Bless you.
Stop the recording there, Barry.
Yep. Yes, please. Thanks, David.
Thank you.